We're going to open this meeting of the Joint Committee on Student Success. Today we have a number of presentations today, and so people understand kind of what's been going on. As you know, we've been going around the state. We've done 10 visits around the state. We've talked with lots and lots of students and other people in those places, and we broke into three work groups. Those work groups have been coming up with what they believe are important measures that they want to look at, and then we have had those work groups have been meeting and getting information about the goals that they had thought were important. And we have a meeting on Thursday in Portland, and then a meeting on the 10th and 11th of October in Coos County, and then we will be done with the traveling part unless we decide we want to do more, but we anticipate that that's when we will be done. And then on we'll have some our work groups finish up what they're doing, including what the policies would look like to address the goals that we set for them. And then on the 8th of November, we will all get together and have a joint meeting to have a final conversation about those things, and have we have an obligation to get a report done by December. And then hopefully with that, we're ready to start the session with some other conversations that have to do with revenue, all those other kinds of things will start at that time, and we'll keep you informed as we go along. Appreciate the people who have been on this journey with us, and there are a lot of them in this room who have been to all of those meetings as well, and we do appreciate that. But today, we really felt it was important to have a meeting where all of the other groups of people who are out there who are contemplating new policies or stuff that are coming from all of the different what we would call partners in this endeavor, and try to get an understanding about all the things they're planning on doing to match with all the things we're trying to do, and maybe see our way clear to kind of have more of a combined vision with everybody. And so in order to do that, we invited a lot of different people to present, and we have fairly limited amount of time for the number of things we're doing, so we'll ask people to keep it on track and keep going. And with that, my co-chair, would you like to say anything about where we're at? And my vice chair, if you would like to. But.
No, I'd just like to say we continue to get great information and feedback at every opportunity. We've managed, we had in our Central Oregon trip a couple of roundtables that we had not, a couple of new ones, one about school safety, another one about the wide array of healthcare needs that are served in our schools. So we continue to really have, just get some great feedback from all across the state. And then about this evening, I do want, if there are other groups, if there are other folks who believe it would be relevant and or important for us to have their other policy ideas, even if you're not testifying tonight, please send an email to our exhibits to exhibits plural at exhibits, it should be written down, jcss.exhibits@oregonlegislature.gov. So we'd love to
call Lisa and let her know.
Don't call Lisa.
Don't call Lisa. And I really appreciate all of my senators being here. I won't say anything about the other side. So, yes.
All of my members are getting something to eat first.
So, I'm here.
All my best members are here.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Official are on the floor.
And our vice chair, Senator Canope.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The Central Oregon trip was great, and Hood River, I think, was really fundamental to our discussions. We had a good mental health, behavior health roundtable, which we really hadn't had in depth yet, and I think that was critical, and I think we need to continue that discussion, and now is the time to bring forward your policy ideas. We are formulating those now based on the goals that we have set out in the subcommittees, and we're going to need to meet quite a few more times, I think in October and November, in order to get our work done. So lots of heavy lifting left to do, Mr. Chair.
Yes. Thank you. So with that, we're going to open our first informational policy recommendations from stakeholder organizations, the Governor's Children's Cabinet. And with that, we'll open that that informational meeting. And thank you for being here.
Well, good evening, Chair Roblin, Chair Smith-Warner, Vice Chair Knope, and members of the committee. My name is Barry Leslie, and I'm the Deputy Chief of Staff for Governor Kate Brown's office. And I'm really excited to be here tonight to tell you about the work of the Governor's Children's Cabinet, and especially excited to be here with Sue Miller. I live and work here in Salem, and Sue Miller is, as Representative Clem knows, one of the most amazing people to be on any work group effort. A leadership effort with, so I'm delighted to be here with her tonight. We'll let her introduce herself to you shortly. So for those of you who don't know about the Children's Cabinet, I want to share with you how it got started. In 2017, the governor began convening the Children's Cabinet with the idea of how can we make better investments in young families earlier so that we're not making those costlier interventions later. And when we are thinking about young families, we're really talking about families, vulnerable families with children 0 to 5. So she invited people from the health, housing, human services, early learning, and education sectors to really come together and think that through and try to reach some conclusions about how we could really serve Oregonians better using the enterprise of state government. We invited people from the public sector. Obviously, all of the agency directors have been participating in this effort, the private sector and nonprofit sectors, and also there's been bipartisan representation from the legislature, which has been tremendous. So working collaboratively across these sectors, the cabinet has identified the highest priority concerns and existing gaps in services for working families and children. And so as a result of this, what we've done is come up with a set of evidence-based solutions that really maximize the return on investment toward helping families build success. We knew, obviously, that in order to accomplish this, we had to focus on several specific things. The first of which is really to think about how we can help families reduce the experience of poverty and support family stability. The core of the strategy really being that any programs that we put forward need to really focus on treating the whole family, not just an individual. We absolutely recognize that the families that we're talking about serving are really one job loss, one accident, one health issue, one rent increase away from major disruption to their lives. And so if we really want to close the opportunity gap, the system and our services have to tackle the barriers to accessing services that communities of color disproportionately face. And we all know that that really manifests itself in increased poverty rates in these communities. So our strategies really build on existing programs that both address root causes of family instability and also create a more resilient safety net that helps kids and families who faced increased challenges. Now, I think you have the children's agenda, which really spells all this out in much greater detail. Hopefully we sent that to the committee in advance. But the really core principles behind what you'll find in that agenda are the following. We believe that we need to prioritize ending children's homelessness by providing greater housing stability for families with children, ensuring 100% of children have health care coverage, integrating addiction treatment and behavioral health programs for families, increasing quality, affordable child care so kids are safe while their parents are working, and as you'll hear from Sue, preschool for kids in poverty so they can start kindergarten ready to learn. We also think we need to help parents get a better job to support their families through training and apprenticeship programs for the jobs of the future. And finally, we need to finalize our comprehensive child welfare system based on positive human development and safely reduce the need for foster care and incarceration of youth offenders. So those are our core principles, and I'd be glad to answer any questions based on my testimony or certainly what you've read through in the children's plan. But also glad to turn it over to Sue.
Thanks, Sue.
All right. Thank you, Chair Roblin and Chair Smith-Warner. My name is Sue Miller, and I'm the chair of the Early Learning Council for Oregon. Very proud to be in that position. And I'm excited to be here today with Barry to talk about really a focus part of the cabinet's work. As you all know, and Barry has just talked about again, for kids to be ready for kindergarten, they have to have health care, they need housing, their families need to be stable and supported, and they also need strong early learning and education programs before they get to kindergarten. I'm guessing through all of your testimony that you've heard, you are well aware that there's a direct correlation between kids being ready for kindergarten and graduation rates. So investing early is going to be a key, really a critical element to getting that outcome that I know there's a lot of focus on around the country, but certainly in Oregon. And we are what I want to do today is just focus on the policies that we're recommending from the cabinet that are focused on early care and education. But know that, as you've seen in the governor's plan, there's also the other arenas being covered. So, starting with preschool, the challenge in Oregon is that there are 40,000 3- and 4-year-olds who are eligible for public preschool, for Head Start, OP Oregon pre-kindergarten, Preschool Promise, and the special education programs, but only 10,000 of those 40,000 are actually enrolled in programs. They don't have access or they aren't affordable for the kids. So one of our first priorities is to see that we're able to serve at least 10,000 more 3- and 4-year-olds in the next biennium. So that would get us at least to 50% of the children who are eligible and need those services. And the research really shows it's the children who are living in poverty that benefit the most from having those preschool experiences. As you know, a part of having preschool available for all of these children is having the workforce available to teach them. So we're working very closely with HEC and the whole higher education system to make sure we've got more pathways for the early learning professionals to be able to get into the workforce. We also are going to be focusing on the need for professional development for the current workforce. You may know that the turnover in the early care and education workforce is horrific. It's 25% a year. That's not